What are the four biggest long-term benefits of homeownership? Stay tuned. We'll talk about that and more today on Indy's Real Estate Gurus.
Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Ritmans NMLS number 664589. Ian Arnold NMLS number is 1995469. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Good afternoon. I'm Rick Rickma, your hard-working mortgage guy.
And I'm Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage Group.
And we're the hard-working mortgage guys.
And if you did miss our podcast last, or our show last week, go to our podcast, Indy's Real Estate Gurus. Also, if you have any questions over anything we talk about today, or you just want to have questions, go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That is hardworkingmortgageguys.com. All right. So this week, some numbers did come out, and I know, Rick, you were briefly talking about them earlier. So what really caught your eye this week?
Well, you know, there are quite a few things, actually, and because the market is really going, it's a different market than, you know, I've been in and around mortgages for nearly 40 years. And, you know, I graduated from high school in the late 70s. In the 70s, you know, as a kid, you don't really know, but I was old enough to kind of understand the inflation and all the issues that were going on. And it's very similar to that. But in this industry and mortgages, it's just and buying homes, it's a weird time. I was meeting with a real estate agent yesterday or a couple days ago, and he was telling me that the market in like Indianapolis and Broad Ripple area, things like that, he said that's really slowed down. But he said the Hamilton County market, which is where he generally works, has been booming still. So there are still very, he said it's really strong. You put a house on the market in Hamilton County, he said it goes very, very quickly. So the market is still good, which a lot of people are starting to hear negative things about the market. It does matter where your house is located, obviously. It does matter, he said. The other thing is that you have to price the home correctly.
That is correct. I mean, there's one in my in-laws live in Westfield, which is Hamilton County. There was a house that was priced up there, and it's been priced for, I think, 4 months. And I'm like, why is this house keep priced? I mean, it's like it's two doors down from them. And I'm like, why is this house keep being, why isn't it sold? So then I just did a little thing, just checking around. Yeah, it's like $100,000 over the next house. There's one with an extra bedroom, 1,000 more square foot. And it was, it sold for the same price they're trying to sell this one for. And I'm like, that doesn't even make sense.
No, it makes no sense at all, does it? And that's what he said. That's the problem, is when people price the home incorrectly. The other thing, if you're in a market that's hot, and this is, he and I were talking about this because I didn't really understand it. And if you're in a hot market, now you need to listen to your real estate agent, but he says most people need to just get it on the market while the market's hot before it slows down.
Yep. It's the same thing even when you're talking about buying something that's like stock. You get it while it's going up. You don't want to get it when it plateaus at the top. So
yeah, and he was specifically talking about people who, I think we've been, this has been drilled in our head. You know, I got to get my house prepared to sell. I got to paint my rooms. I got to do this. There's little things I got to fix. In a market that's super hot, where you're getting more buyers than you are, then you can only handle one buyer. And if there's 10 of them trying to buy your house, or even three of them trying to buy your house, even two trying to buy your house. When I sit in an auction, I go to car auctions. You sit in an auction. What you want when you're selling a car is two bidders fighting each other. That's all you need. Yep. Okay, it's great to have three or four, but you really only need two. You have two bidders bidding the car up. You have two bidders bidding the house up. That's what you need. You need to get that going. So you can't wait to fix things. You can't wait to do that. You just get the house on the market when it's a hot market. Now, if you're not in a hot market, then you might need to do some work. But he was talking about a client he had that he kept trying to get him to get in the market, and by the time they were ready, he said it cost them a bundle of money because they did all this work and the market slowed down. So it's a much tougher market than it was. So anyway, that's one of the things I wanted to talk about. The other piece, or two other pieces, really, I'll just do real quick. We've talked about this before, but I think it's worth talking about again, and maybe again next week. But the conforming limit for mortgages, I think people need to understand. You can borrow on a conforming limit. This means not non-jumbo loans on a conforming loan. The limit now, the loan limit is $715,000. That means if you're putting 20% down, you're more in the, what, 850, 900 range?
Yep.
I mean, that's incredible. And
especially in today's market, in Indiana. I mean, you got to think this is over the whole United States. So when you're talking about just Indiana, I mean, most of our houses aren't a million, 2 million, stuff like that. Like if you were to go to California or New York or something crazy. I mean, our houses are pretty reasonable. You don't find, I'm not going to say there's not any, because Geist and there's some parts in Carmel that are up there and Morse Lake that are in the millions. But the average is well below that here in Indiana.
Yeah, it is. And it's kind of crazy. If you were at 715 loan amount, if you were putting 5% down, that means you can buy a house at about $752,000. That seems to me is going to get a lot of homes. Right? If you're putting 20% down, you're looking at just under $900,000, $893,000, almost $894,000. 20% down puts you in the conforming limit.
Yeah.
I guess because I've been in the business so long, it just blows me away that we're at that we're at that number. It just does. It seems like yesterday we were in the 200s.
Yeah, what was it, like 500, 590 something or something like that a year ago or something?
A year ago it was 5, you know, it's so hard to remember. I think it was 517 or something.
Oh, yeah, but still.
This year right now it's 649, yeah. 200.
Yeah, I mean, it's how that just tells you how much houses have appreciated these last couple of years.
You know what, you're right. That's a great way to see, because that's what this is based on, is that information, you know, the appreciation. It's a great way to kind of understand what happens. Those limits go up. That's because the appreciation. So your houses have been going up. The other thing that I just off the subject. Well, it's on the subject. That's a single unit, right? That's buying a single family home.
One.
But let's say somebody wants to buy a double. That limit is $916,000. A triplex is $1,000,001, a little over that. $1,107,000, and a four unit's $1,376,000. Now, I don't even know if we have anything in our market like that, that, you know, a fourplex that's worth that. I'm sure in other areas they do. But that is amazing.
Yes.
And it is a great way. If you could buy something like that and rent out three of them, and it's that, I mean, obviously at that price, it'd be a darn nice.
Yep.
I mean, you could probably pay for the house. It wouldn't cost you anything. But, it's just,
but wow. The nice thing is what it tells somebody, if you are looking at doing a duplex or three or four units, it's easy to get approved. Now, it's still upon your bank account and also getting your debt to income and stuff like that. Don't get us wrong. But here in Indiana, as long as everything checks out, you're easier to get those units here. So if you do want to get that, or you want to see if you can get pre-approved from, contact us at hardworkingmortgageguys.com. And again, that is hardworkingmortgageguys.com. And that would be a free consult. So you don't have to worry about anything. Just let us talk to you, figure out your situation.
Right. And make sure, you know, and you want to do that really before you do anything. That's the first thing you should do. Even, you know,
you at least got to think about it first and be like, I want to do this? Yeah. And then we should be the second.
But the first actual step after thinking about it is giving us getting online, getting with us. The other thing I wanted to talk about is the housing starts. And the reason is I think this is important. This is builders starting homes, and it's telling you what the activity is out there. One of the issues we have with the lack of inventory right now is over the last 10, 12, 15 years, we have built way too few homes. if you look at, and why do I say that? Because if you look at the numbers and you look at the increase in the families in the U.S., in the number of people in the U.S., and you look at the housing starts, we're like 3 million short. It's a huge number. And the housing starts month over month fell 8.1% last month.
So here's something to really think about. I mean, you live up in the Zionsville area. You got the Carmel, you got the Fishers. Think of how many homes have been built in the last 10 years. And yet we're still under what we should be at.
Right.
It's crazy.
You know, right now, you know, or at least the last couple of years, you drive by and you see quite a few houses going up. There's been a lot of sticks, what we call sticks in the air, right?
Yep.
A lot of houses being built. But if you think back, and maybe because I was in new home sales and worked for a builder, I kind of recognize it more than most. But I remember, I mean, it wasn't 7-8 years ago. There was hardly anything. There were very few new communities. They were slow. I remember the Villages of West Clay because I ride my bike through it all the time. It's always on the top of my mind. And I really think it's a beautiful community. But it wasn't that long ago when it was struggling. Nobody was building houses in there. It's because the market just went away. Mm-hmm. And it's come back the last few years, and now it's slowing down some places. The builders are getting concerned. You can see it in their builder confidence. You can see it in that number. But those are the main things I wanted to talk about. Any numbers that you were thinking of that you wanted to talk about?
No, you basically hit, because I know we like to talk a lot throughout the week on what we see and stuff. And, I mean, you hit the numbers pretty good. Now, let's get to talking about a little bit more numbers, and then we'll hit some a little bit, and then we'll go to a break, and we'll come back. But we really like to talk about the four biggest long-term benefits of home ownership. So the number one is be more the financial, the money side. So I know I was briefly talking about. So let's say rent for however long, and we're going to talk about many different years, is $1,000 per month. So if you rented a place and you just stayed there instead of buying a house, after 5 years, you would have spent $60,000 on rent alone. So basically, that's just coming out of your pocket and going to somebody else.
And that's being conservative. That's $1,000 a month, and that's not raising the rent any of those years.
Correct.
And $1,000 a month right now really isn't.
No, you're not getting anything.
You're not getting much.
So then go to 10 years. That's $120,000. Go to 15 years, $180,000. Now here's the big kicker. Say you're just totally anti, I just want to rent, I don't want to own. If you did that for 30 years, that's $360,000 that you just gave to somebody. That is crazy. Now, let's take a look. In last 5 years in Indiana, the home prices had changed 66.4% positive for your appreciation in your home. So what does that mean? That means a house, if you were to bought a house at $150,000, now the value would be $250,000. But remember, under 5 years. So you would have applied roughly $60,000 to that house. Or you would have put $60,000 to somebody else.
Right. And that 5 years, that means you it would be like saving $20,000 that you had to put away in the bank.
Correct.
That's a lot.
That is huge.
That's gigantic.
Now, let's say your house is $300,000. Still the same five-year gap. The value win would be $499,000. So you're almost at $500,000 for your house. And again, if you were to say, hey, a $300,000 loan, I'm going to do it 30 year. You would have spent $360,000 in rent for 30 years. Or you could easily, at 30 years, have your house. And in 5 years, it's already increased, what, $200,000? I'll take that any day of the week.
Right.
If that appreciation is what I think goes over a lot of people's heads. Now, we're going to get into a little bit more of this when we come back from the break.
Yeah, that's great. After the break, we will get more into these numbers. I think it's important to talk about. And please, if you have any questions, you want to talk to us, you want to ask anything on mortgages or just have general question, just go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. And again, after the break, we're going to talk more about the four biggest long-term benefits of homeownership.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us. I'm Rick Rickma.
And I'm Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage Group.
And we're the hard-working mortgage guys. We didn't do that very well, did we?
No.
We'll try better next week, but we are the hardworking mortgage guys. And, you know, we're going to get into now the, if you have any questions, you want to talk to us again, hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com.
And if you did miss the first 15 minutes, check out our podcast, Indy's Real Estate Gurus. And now it is time for Question of the Week.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
The question of the week is brought to you by the Reducer Mortgage. It's our inflation fighter. With the price of everything going up, call us today to see what we can do to help reduce your payment to help out your bank account. Especially with the holidays coming up, let's not have you dipping into your savings and your 401k. Call us today and we can see what we can do to help you reduce your overall payment. Because guess what? With a lot of people heating their house with gas, gas prices are going up, and that's gonna hit you in the utility bill department. So
everything's going up.
Yep.
What were the inflation numbers? 8.7.
Yep.
8.7%. I mean, that's everything's going up. I know. You go to the store, everything's more expensive.
Yeah, I don't even want to buy bacon anymore. It's so expensive. Yeah,
well, I quit eating meat, so there you go. I don't eat bacon.
All right. So last week's question was: I have a neck but no head, and I wear a cape. Or a cap, sorry. What am I? A bottle.
Yeah, but you think you wear a cape.
I do wear a cape. I'm Superman. Yeah. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah.
All right, so this one is inspired for Halloween coming up next week. Why didn't the skeleton cross the street? Tune in next week to find the answer. So, Rick, we're going through and trying to talk about the financial implications of long-term home ownership. So I know we were talking about we went through what a 5-year does for somebody and the appreciation. And remember, this appreciation is just over Indiana market. This does not include anybody else. So I know a lot of times we do national numbers. This is Indiana's appreciation.
Yeah. And there's no guarantees of what it's going to appreciate. Average. It could appreciate higher, could appreciate lower. And actually, nobody even knows what's going to happen in the future. So you
correct.
Got this number by looking at what our past appreciation
was.
What
the past ones were.
There you go. So that's the, you know, there's no guarantee past is going to be present. But, you know,
yep.
So should be.
As you're saying that, the last 5 years, it has increased, the average appreciation is 66.4%, which is incredible. And the reason why I say that, in the last 30 years, though, in Indiana, the average home is 214. So you can see why there was a huge jump the last 5 years. But still, 214. So that tells you, if you bought a house 30 years ago, which I think you're pretty close to that, if I'm not
mistaken. A little
over. At $150,000, your house value would have been $322,000. That's crazy. Also, if you had a $300,000 home, that value now would be over $644,000.
Personally, I actually bought my home 31 years ago for $150,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is saying now the value would be 322.
Roughly, yep.
Okay. Mine by an appraiser was worth several hundred thousand dollars more than this.
And like you said, I mean, it's going to be a rough estimate. It depends on, as I got told when I was looking for a house, the main thing is location, location, location.
Yep.
Is because if you are basically in, let's say, a lower part of the community where not a lot of income comes in, you're probably not going to see a huge appreciation. But if you live in a place, let's say, a person who bought their house 30 years ago in Fishers, well, what is it, 10 or 12 years ago, Fishers was named the number one city to live in the United States. That place was booming like no other. Your appreciation would skyrocket right then and there. So there are different places where you live. I mean, so for instance, if you live in Marion County or Marion City, then your appreciation might not be as much as a Marion County city.
So it could be higher. It could be higher. You just don't know. Right. Every area is, and even spots and areas will be different.
Correct.
One of the spots in Indianapolis that's always done extremely well, two of them, the Meridian Kessler area.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yep.
And the Broad Ripple area.
Yep.
On the north side, those areas have done extremely well. You know, on the south side, Greenwood's always done very well. Greenwood has boomed. It's amazing what's happened in Greenwood. But it's not just Greenwood. It's all those areas are booming all over the city.
Yep.
But there's pockets that just don't do the appreciation.
Okay. So let's get into a little bit more of this. So let's say you did a 30-year mortgage or whatnot, and you paid on your house consistently, and at 30 years, you're going to pay off your home. So at $300,000, so you would have paid more because it's a little interest, but at $300,000, you would have paid off your home. That $300,000 home is $644,000. Or you could have spent $360,000 in rent. People don't realize how much rent hurts you. And to be honest with you, I wish I would have done this, because I didn't get married and buy a house until I was 30. So I wish I would have done this a lot earlier, because if I would have bought a house when I was probably 20, 22, I would have had it for 8 years, had that appreciation, instead of renting all that time. So I spent almost 10 years of renting. And think of how much, right here, I wasted about $120,000.
Yep. And one of my thoughts on this is, because I think a lot of people look at it and they go, well, you know, I paid rent or I paid for the house. The difference is if you pay for the house, let's say you paid $300,000 for the house and you with your financing, you wouldn't have borrowed that much, but let's say your total amount in the house was $500,000. Let's say it was $600,000. Okay. Let's say you paid a total of $600,000 with upkeep and maintenance and all that stuff. You paid $600,000. So your real equity, if it was $644,000, which I think it'd be higher, then you would still have $44,000 in equity. But let's say it ate the entire amount up. So all you did is break even. Well, you had to live somewhere. So if you broke even, you still save the $360,000 in rent, and I'll tell you that would be a lot higher because that's $1,000 a month and never increasing.
Yep. Yeah, and I just did $1,000 to
make it easy.
Make it easy, and the other thing was to make it, if you went 30 years ago, the average rent was not $1,000.
Right. You're being conservative yep. to give people. Yeah, I agree. I think that's very fair. But the reality is, even if you break even on your house after all expenses, after everything, you saved $360,000. Now, this also says, because sometimes when you talk about this, it sounds like we're only talking to first-time homebuyers, but it does make a difference. If you have a $300,000 house and you go buy a $600,000 house, your appreciation is much higher.
Correct.
Because of the higher dollar amount. Now, the percentage may not be higher, but the dollar amount is higher.
It's all about the percent. Yeah. I mean, it's like when you buy stock, it's about percent.
Right.
All right, so we went into the financial part. Now let's do the little bit. Let's change it up a little bit. What about non-financial benefits? What would you think is good non-financial benefit?
Well, one is owning a home gives you this feeling of and this sense of accomplishment. You feel great about it. What do people do when they buy a house? What did you do when you bought a house? You showed it to everybody,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
Everybody.
Yeah, a lot of people throw a little party. Some people throw it to, hey, people bring over some housewarming gifts. I need to fill out this house. But it's one of those things. And you and I have had it where we've done some of these first-time home buyers that never thought they could purchase a home. And then they call us right after they sign, and they are bawling. And it's not bawling because of sadness. It's of joy of, hey, look, this is now mine. And that mental state is phenomenal when we see that.
It makes doing this worthwhile.
It does. Very easy. The other thing is if you've rented, you'll fully understand. You get the freedom to change whatever you want. So for instance, my wife recently wanted different light fixtures. Well, we changed the light fixtures. She wanted different appliances. We're not wasting money. This is for us. So if you wanted to paint a wall or take down a wall. Now, always check with a contractor first. But if you want to take down a wall, you can do that. You can't do that in an apartment.
Right. And, you know, and along with that, a little different, but it's been a long time since I lived in an apartment. But I will tell you, one of the biggest things that we were glad to get away from is the noise.
Oh, yes. People stomping on your head.
We had people who lived below us. We called them Beamer and Screamer because he drove a Beamer and she would scream at him, and it could be 2 o'clock in the morning and she would be screaming at him. They'd be mad and they would in a huge argument. He'd be yelling too, but that went away.
Yep. And I think one of the other things that most people don't talk about, but you feel it, is homeownership can lead to a greater community engagement. And what do I mean by that? I mean, if you live in a place, do you want the outside around looking bad? No. You'll walk around, you'll pick up that trash that just happened to fall out of somebody's car on accident or something like that, just because that's your neighborhood. You're more willing to go out and do stuff in your neighborhood and in that area to make it look nicer and better for you.
And you keep better care of your house. Neighborhoods limit the amount of rental properties that can be in a neighborhood. Some neighborhoods do that. Yep. Or don't allow it at all. They do that because a renter doesn't have the same level of commitment to that home and to the neighborhood as a homeowner. Yep.
It's basically the same thing as, think about your first car. If your parents gave you a first car, did you take great care of it? Most times, no. But when you had to go out there and purchase that car, oh, you took great care. You're waxing it every day and stuff. That might be an exaggeration, but you understand what I'm saying.
Wasn't for me. You know, one thing I want to clarify, or at least say, is that renting can be a good thing too for somebody.
Yes.
Okay, so when we talk about what we're talking about, like with renters, when I said that they are, you know, not as much bought in, that's the surveys. That's what it shows. But we're at the end of the show.
Yes.
And I'm Rick Ripma.
And I'm Ian Arnold. And tune into us next week for our Halloween special. It'll be very spooky, just so you guys know. And also, if you have any friends or family or even coworkers that would like to buy, sell, or refinance, have them contact us so we can get them on the right path.
Yep. HardworkingMortgageGuys.com.